Hello, this is Dr. Grande. Today I will analyze the case of Jason Arday. First, I'll look at the background of this case, move to the timeline of the incident, then offer my analysis. Jason Ataque Arday was born on May 9, 1985, and was raised in London, England. His father was a chef, and his mother was a mental health nurse. Jason claimed that at the age of 3, he was diagnosed with autism and global developmental delay. He was nonverbal until the age of 11 and could not read or write until he was 18. In 2008, Jason earned a bachelor's degree in education studies with physical education from the University of Surrey. He later earned a master's degree in education and pedagogy from St. Mary's University. In 2012, he served as an Olympic torchbearer. In 2015, Jason earned a PhD in education from Liverpool John Moores University. The title of his thesis was An Exploration of Peer Mentoring Among Student Teachers to Inform Reflective Practice Within the Context of Action Research. After the S in the word teachers, there was an apostrophe, so Jason had a grammatical error in his title. Over the next few years, Jason obtained a series of increasingly senior academic positions at colleges. Much of his research examined higher education through the lens of race and equality, including the use of critical race theory to analyze racism and institutional barriers affecting Black students and academics. In March 2023, Jason was hired as a professor of sociology of education at the University of Cambridge. At 37 years old, he was the youngest Black person ever appointed to a professorship at Cambridge. The head of the Faculty of Education told Jason, "We are so lucky to have you. You are the best in the world in terms of the research that you do." The Pro Vice Chancellor for Education referred to Jason as an exceptional scholar of race, inequality, and education. Jason attracted a lot of media attention and was called the world's most famous living sociologist. He appeared on TV shows and gave numerous speeches at various events. Reportedly, within 2 years, he was awarded 5 honorary doctorates. Not everybody was impressed with Jason. Some people wondered why Cambridge gave a senior appointment to someone with a relatively limited quantity of research experience. They suspected that his race may have played a role in the selection process and wondered if Jason was a DEI hire. Now moving to the timeline of the incident. In May 2023, a professor named David Harris emailed Jason Arday about an article that Jason had published in the journal Social Sciences in 2018. It appeared as though parts of the article had been plagiarized. Jason responded, quote, "Instead of spending your time trying to dismantle racism and ableism, you have spent what I assume is hours combing through my work and looking for mistakes," unquote. He also said, quote, "Anything further from you will be considered bullying and harassment," unquote. Jason called the police and reported that he had been harassed, but the police declined to pursue a case. Ultimately, Jason revised his article and resubmitted it. Later, a reporter for Times Higher Education wrote a report about the plagiarism. He sent it to Jason in September 2025 for comment. Jason contacted the police, who in turn contacted the reporter and told him not to communicate with Jason again. The police later admitted that they made a mistake. There was no case there. In July 2026, a philosopher named Nathan Kofness said that several of Jason Arday's articles and his dissertation had been plagiarized. This accusation attracted the attention of other reporters. During an interview with The Guardian, Jason said, quote, "To be honest with you, I thought you would just believe me. Why would I lie?" unquote. Jason admitted that he made errors in some of his work, including his dissertation. He blamed a lack of supervision and support for his autism and complex learning disabilities. Jason said, "I didn't murder somebody. I think the cruelty that I've experienced and the positioning of me as this kind of liar and fantasist is totally unacceptable." Increased scrutiny into Jason's work and his claims about life experiences resulted in additional discoveries suggesting that Jason did not always tell the truth. Here are a few examples. Some of the statements that Jason attributed to his research participants who had undergone structured interviews had actually come from articles written by other people. If this was deliberate, it would be beyond plagiarism and rise to the level of academic fraud. Reporters failed to find any evidence that Jason had secured ethics approval for using participants in his research. Jason claimed that he had published a book titled Being Young, Black, and Male, Challenging the Dominant Discourse. As it turns out, the book had never been published. Jason claimed that when he was 25 years old, he ran 30 marathons in 35 days, the last 9 with a hairline fracture to his fibula. There was no evidence to support this claim. Jason said that when he was 30 years old, he ran 600 miles in 6 days, which would almost be a world record. He further claimed to raise 5.5 million pounds for over 80 charities. When Jason was confronted about these claims, he changed his story, saying that he ran 600 miles in 12 days. As far as the money that was raised, he said he was just one of about 100 people involved in the effort. When he was asked to provide the identities of some of these people, he said that he had signed non-disclosure agreements. Jason said that in 2006, he completed a relief mission in Brazil, which involved installing water pumps in poor communities. This was supposedly done as a volunteer for a charity called WaterAid. The charity said they would never ask a volunteer to go to Brazil. Jason claimed that when he was 7 years old, he appeared in a documentary series titled 7-Up. As it turns out, the series was first broadcast 21 years before he was born, making Jason the first person to secure a television appearance before achieving birth. When confronted about his claim, Jason said that he was referring to a community initiative modeled on the same idea, not the television series. There is no evidence this initiative ever existed. Jason claimed that after being appointed at Cambridge, he received abuse online. It was so bad his emails had to be screened by others prior to him reading them. He further claimed that on 2 occasions, an intruder wearing a mask had come to his job and threatened him. During one incident, the man had a knife. In reality, no one else at Cambridge had reported a masked intruder, and no such intruder was captured on video surveillance. Despite all the evidence that Jason was a serial fabulist, the University of Cambridge defended him, saying he was the victim of a vile campaign to undermine his credibility. In a sense, they were right, except the perpetrator was Jason himself. Later, Cambridge decided to take the accusations a little more seriously. On August 5, 2026, they announced an investigation into Jason's academic qualifications and honorary appointments. Later that same day, Jason resigned from Cambridge. It's not all bad news for Jason. He wrote a memoir titled Great and Unfortunate Things. The publisher is Simon & Schuster. They described the book as a story of improbable triumphs. Ahead of the release of the book, several of Jason's fantastical claims have been toned down or just plain removed. Jason claimed that he was paid $1.4 million. If he's telling the truth, then he has plenty of cash. If he's not, which is overwhelmingly likely, the book will represent just one more in a long series of embarrassments. Now moving to my analysis. When looking at the accusations about Jason fabricating parts of his life story, in my opinion, he is responsible for making false claims about his accomplishments, hardships, and other life experiences. He is a serial fabulist. As far as the plagiarism claims, some of the examples of him taking other researchers' work could have been just honest mistakes. But his problem is really the quantity. There is no way a PhD should ever have made that many errors. He was deliberately plagiarizing, or he was completely incompetent. Either way, it doesn't look too good for him. Initially, many progressives defended Jason, claiming that the accusations were nothing more than thinly veiled racism. They claimed that his accusers were simply angry that a black man had obtained such a phenomenal position at a prestigious university. Racism could explain some of the motivation into investigating Jason's academic career. However, it doesn't explain the findings. Even if Jason only did half of what he was accused of, he cannot be trusted as a professor. This brings me to the question, what do I think happened in this case? This is just a theory, my opinion. Jason was self-centered, grandiose, pretentious, arrogant, hypersensitive, manipulative, calculating, Machiavellian, vindictive, petty, falsely believed he was special, had a sense of entitlement, and was, exceedingly creepy. Despite being overconfident, he had a sense of inferiority. Many of his traits aligned with the construct of the victim narcissist. Jason did not have the skills to obtain high status, but he realized if he played the victim, he could still achieve his goal. He launched a campaign of repeated deception in order to simulate a hero's journey. Many of his lies supported and reinforced this theme of overcoming tragedy and adversity. He claimed to have all kinds of terrible things happen to him, including being in a coma after a motor vehicle collision, having two brain tumors, and having testicular cancer. This was, of course, in addition to having autism, being nonverbal until the age of 11, and not being able to read or write until the age of 18. Having so much tragedy in his story served two purposes. One, it would give him opportunities to achieve success because people would be inspired that he had overcome so many hardships. Two, having tragedies meant that any success that he managed to achieve would look even more remarkable. The distance between the lows and the highs in his life was phenomenal. Accomplishments were now more impressive because he had to rise from the depths of despair and hardships to achieve them. Jason was better than a person who went from an average level of life stressors to success. He was a true hero. He was able to span a gigantic chasm of pain and suffering to seize glory. This pattern was evident in Jason's memoir when he made frequent references to the movie character Rocky Balboa, who was famously played by Sylvester Stallone. Rocky was a working-class Philadelphia boxer who obtained an improbable shot at the heavyweight championship. Jason pictured himself as an underdog doubted by everyone, who would rise up and achieve something no one thought was possible. The hero's journey that Jason promoted even involved a prophecy, just like fantasy movies that feature a chosen one. He claimed that in 2006, when he was supposedly in Brazil installing water pumps, a local aid worker touched his arm and softly told him that he was destined to suffer in his life, but also to do great things. In his memoir, Jason wrote, "You might say, her prediction came true." There were also themes featuring odd twists of fate, almost like Jason was destined to be legendary. Everything in his life sort of fell into place. He was the recipient of divine grace, here to teach humanity valuable lessons. For instance, Jason claimed that he told a judge that kids who beat him up should not go to prison. Later, two of those assailants became his students. In another odd twist, Jason was having thoughts of traveling over the edge of a bridge to his demise, but he listened to his favorite song and decided against it. The song was "Take It to the Limit" by the Eagles. Jason said it saved his life. I guess it's a good thing his favorite song wasn't Tom Petty's "Free Fallin'." Jason anticipated that his fantastical stories would attract scrutiny. Therefore, he made preparations. He said, "When you succeed against pretty much insurmountable odds, it weirdly makes people question your credibility." This shows the extent of Jason's reasoning capability. He thinks it's weird for people to be suspicious about extremely improbable events. Jason was plainly communicating his response to criticism. Anyone who challenged him would face a counterattack based on racism. He was almost inviting people to make a move against him. He wanted them to know there would be a severe penalty for messing with him. Jason was not afraid. He would stand up and fight with the help of his progressive allies. On two separate occasions when Jason was accused of plagiarism, he actually contacted the police. He thought that law enforcement would tell his critics that they were not permitted to criticize a black professor. Sadly, the police warned one of the reporters to leave Jason alone, only to later admit this was a terrible mistake. Jason was able to intimidate his critics, using the police as his accomplices. Law enforcement was quick to suspect racist motives for criticism. In the end, the deceptive tactics that Jason employed were highly successful. He kept his job at Cambridge for 3 years, even though he was dragging a string of lies behind him a mile long. I think Cambridge hired Jason and kept him in his position for so long to address the institution's history of perceived racism. Jason fit the narrative. They needed him to be successful. He was proof of their redemption. In the end, he became a master of their undoing. The only thing that was proven was their willingness to suspend logical thought processes to satisfy ideological goals. Cambridge did not escape the specter of bias. Rather, they demonstrated it in the opposite direction. The prestigious university not only embraced a messianic figure, they signaled the completion of his hero's journey by giving him a job. They fully believed that he was nothing short of legendary. Jason's book agent once described his life story as nearly mythic. It would be more accurate to say it was mythology. Those are my thoughts on the case of Jason Arday. Thank you so much for watching. I'll talk to you soon.